More than a decade now, and the most recent count suggests more people are finding shelter but still need a place they can actually call home. We'll get reaction to the homeless count and ask for your feedback on this as well. After 12:30 today, Globesity, the global obesity epidemic, and how tweens, teens, their parents, and television collide to make some kids fat. We're going to check out some new research at SFU on a day when, as you've heard, the province is offering new incentives to get healthier. More than 500 BC firefighters, they're pitching in next door in Alberta. We'll get an update from near Slave Lake. And a Nelson woman returns from the devastated town of Onagawa in Japan. We'll speak to her as well. As you've heard today on CBC News, the number of homeless people in Metro Vancouver remains almost unchanged since the last count 3 years ago. The homeless count report released this morning shows 2,623 people in the region don't have a home. That's 37 fewer than the previous count. But the new figures do show a shift in what homelessness looks like. The number of people who sleep on the streets has been cut in half. The number in shelters has doubled. We want to hear from you, too. What do you think of these new numbers? Do you consider this success if more people are off the streets and in shelter? What else needs to happen yet for those in shelters to actually own or get their own home? This is the first time in the last three counts, actually, that there hasn't been an increase in the number of homeless people. So give us a call at 604-669-3733, toll free 1-800-825-5950, and on the cell, star or pound 690. Joining us for the discussion is Sean Spear. He's the Associate Director of Rain City Housing, joining me in studio. Hello, Sean.
Hi.
And Dick Vollett is the President and CEO of the Street to Home Foundation. That's a coalition of BC business leaders working to end homelessness. And Dick, welcome to BC Almanac as well.
Hi, Mark. Thanks for having me.
And Dick, you were at the announcement today. Could you take us through some of these numbers and tell us more about what they mean?
Sure. Well, in terms of the numbers, I mean, the metro community and the metro count was basically they'll talk to the theory behind it. But from the announcement this morning, I thought it was really good news. The numbers to us mean that we've kind of blunted the growth of homelessness, which is very encouraging. And you mentioned earlier that people have been now moved into shelters, which means they're not sleeping on the street, which is also good news, which means we can identify who they are. We can connect with them and we can help them move into more permanent housing, supported housing down the road.
Is the housing there for all those people in the shelters, though, right now?
Well, not yet. But again, it's been well over two decades before, since the last time any kind of real housing was built to take a look at homelessness and really address it. So I think the fact that we're catching up and blunting and getting to the point where it will come on stream, but there is still more work to be done.
Sean, what do these numbers tell you today?
Well, it's similar news there. I'm happy that they have not gone up, and we run a number of the emergency shelters, and what we've found is the same type of thing, that the neighbors around are actually telling us and noticing that there's less visible homelessness, and I think that that's obviously a result that people have come into the shelters and also the supported housing.
Will that change in the summer when some of these emergency shelters actually close down for the season?
It's hard to say for sure. I noticed that when we just had three of them that did close down, and many of those folks have been housed. And as Dick was saying, that we're in a kind of a historic time where there's a lot of work being done with all of the partners around this. And some of the folks that are in our shelters actually went into some very nice new supported housing facilities.
Dick, maybe you could give us a sense of the region as well. It's quite interesting that in terms of the number of unsheltered people who are on the streets yet, Vancouver's numbers are actually lower than Surrey's now, aren't they?
Yeah, I think, again, the count is a snapshot in time, so it's really hard to really look at the numbers that definitively. I think the trending is really where we need to stay focused, because it is a 24-hour period of time. So, again, the number of shelters. I think one of the things that was quite interesting was in Surrey, there is no Aboriginal shelter. facilities in Surrey, which was identified by the Aboriginal Homeless Society or Homeless Count Group. And I think that's really key because of the population of the homeless group. It is quite staggering to see that there's still a large proportion of that is the Aboriginal population.
Asking our listeners, too, for their reaction to this and what more needs to be done yet. Do you think this is a step in the right direction, the new kind of collaboration that's going on right now? Is it making a real difference or not? 669-3733, 1-800-825-5950. Sean Spear is with me from Rain City Housing. They offer housing and shelter facilities. And Dick Vullett is president and CEO of the Street to Home Foundation. Edward is calling us from East Vancouver with some reaction. Edward?
Yeah, well, I'm always interested in this snapshot, being a housing advocate who gets folks from St. Paul's Hospital who have lost their housing when they get sick, and then I try to stick them into housing in the downtown east side. You know, this count, as previously been mentioned, is just a snapshot in time. The people who aren't counted are the people who are cruising from SRO to SRO, sleeping on people's floors. And really, do we call housing a crappy room with bed bugs in it and neighbors who are constantly pounding on your door? Many of the people who I find in my clinic do not want to go back to the downtown east side. Their options are extremely limited. You have no references. You're sick. You're addicted. Where do you go? And then when I say to them, well, you're going to be going to, you know, any one of the SROs, it's really depressing for them, and I really am hesitant to refer to anything in the downtown east side that doesn't have a bathroom and a kitchen housing. And there are very few places like that, the Woodward's Project, the Pennsylvania Project, just to name a few. But really, what does that mean? 24 hours, we catch these people in the streets. It's not counting, you know, the single mom who's about to get evicted from her apartment because she's complained about the mold. It doesn't count the person living in a crappy room who's exposed to violence and pestilence on a daily basis. I mean, sometimes these rooms are worse than living outside.
Thanks for that broader picture, actually. And Sean, your reaction to what he's saying, that some of the places that people are living in, no one would want to live in.
A lot of the people that, say, are in our heat shelters do actually say that they don't want to go back to, based on their own life experiences and some of the issues that were just mentioned, they would rather be in another area. I am glad that, you know, we have some facilities that are outside of the downtown east side and that part of the strategy is having services outside of the downtown east side. And the other issue that was mentioned there, I do agree with that. This count actually captured some of the people that are in facilities and hospitals, and they are living with some of the most complex health issues, and a lot of the housing is not quite suitable, some of the stuff that's available. And the new facilities that are coming on board really need to meet their needs.
There will be, according to the province, 1,400 roughly new supportive housing units opening in the next 2 years. And Dick Vullett, how much of a difference will that number make, do you think?
Well, it's a great start, Mark, and I think, you know, they will come on stream. It takes time to open them. As Sean mentioned, a few of them have opened, and they have some people that have come out of the shelters into them. But the caller that made the point of people not wanting to go back into the downtown east side to some of the SROs, we agree. And at Street to Home, we're very focused on the fact that housing doesn't mean four walls and a roof. It means that there is some permanent supportive housing in place where people can actually call it home and move them up the continuum into what we call real housing. So the 1,400 units are coming on stream. It's a great start. It will make a difference. It'll make a significant difference. But I think there's still more to be done.
Thanks, Edward, for the call from East Vancouver. Ruth is next from Vancouver on these most recent homeless count numbers. Please go ahead, Ruth.
Oh, hi.
Hi.
I've worked in homelessness issues for quite a while, and what I'm sort of concerned about is the support for people who are not addicted nor mental health consumers who are facing issues of homelessness related to the economy. We haven't straightened out the economy yet. There's lots of families who are low income who can't get housing. So right at the moment, there are initiatives around people who have been on the street, have mental health issues perhaps, or addiction issues, and that's a very long process. But there's nothing for people who don't have those issues and still cannot find housing.
Is that because they're at minimum wage or below, or what are the factors there,
yeah,
Ruth?
They're on income assistance, but that doesn't mean they have mental health issues necessarily or addiction issues.
No.
Sean? They're just low-income people.
Your reaction to what Ruth is saying?
Yeah, I agree. We work mostly on that end of the continuum around with mental health and addictions, but there's still a lot of work to be done just around affordable housing in this city and on that end of the continuum. We've had people in our shelters this year and the last couple of years that are working, and they really like the 24-hour, that we're open 24 hours and that we have a low-barrier approach, and that some of them are working night shifts and they are working in the shelters, but they're having a hard time finding places to live that are affordable in the city.
Ruth, thank you. And Darius now from Vancouver. Welcome to BC Almanac, Darius.
Yo, now.
Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I was just talking to one of your people on the phone here. I met a couple of homeless people, one that was voting in front of me recently, and he was voting, and when they asked him what his address was, he said Stanley Park.
Mm-hmm.
And so he apparently, and the other person said, that's the way they want to live. They didn't want to live in a home. You know, in other words, they were quite, there was only very few of the homeless, yes, are in that position, I know, but there are some who do not want to, you know, live in any kind of home at all.
Dick Vollett, what do you think? Have you met people like that in your work?
Yes, we have, and I think the statement is on an individual basis. I don't think anyone wakes up and says that they want to be homeless. I don't think anyone chooses that. I think circumstances put people in the position where they end up being homeless, whether it's being at risk because they're one or two paychecks away from becoming or losing their home. And the other thing, this is really a province-wide issue. You know, we've talked to a lot of folks from Vancouver, but it is a province-wide issue. And I know there's many communities struggling with similar issues around homelessness, whether it be in a smaller community or whether it be a lot more focused because it's in Vancouver. But I do believe that nobody really chooses to be homeless. And given the right opportunity and the right options, they would make the choice to be somewhere that's safe, secure, dry, where they can call it home.
Right, you are on that score. My travels around BC, I have seen homeless people just about everywhere that I have traveled. And one thing, Sean, that you'd like to see continue in the year ahead, if we've made some gains here, what's the one key thing to think of as we move ahead from here?
Well, you know, I think that there really has been a lot of push from all of the partners in the city and the province and Streets to Home and all of the organizations. It's not enough yet, but we really have to keep pushing forward with what the plans are. I would like to see some of our lower barrier shelters open that are outside of the downtown east side more on a annual basis and not necessarily close in the summer. But we need to keep pushing because that model is a really good match for many people, including the one example of people coming out of places like Stanley Park. You know, we had at our Cardero shelter this year and last year, people coming right out of the park who had been there for 10 or 12 years.
Great to have both of you here for this discussion today. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks, Dick.
Mark. Thank you very much. Really appreciate the time.
Dick Vollett is the president and CEO of the Street to Home Foundation, and Sean Spear is the associate director of Rain City Housing. And you can comment further, almanac@cbc.ca.